Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here with the 335th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons will wrap up their mini camp today, then break for the summer after a golf outing on Thursday. They're going to do a little top golfing. So that's what they're going to do to wrap up things here and break for the summer and then come back in July for training camp. So we've had time now over the last couple of weeks to talk to almost all of the position coaches, several of the top players, several of the new veterans. And so this episode, we're going to take a look at the position battles on both sides of the ball as things have started to take shape here in the offseason for the Atlanta Falcons. On offense, we'll start with the quarterbacks. And the big news there is they do not plan to bring a fourth quarterback in. They want Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder to get all the reps so they can get both of those guys ready to play. Felipe Franks is moving over to tight end. He's spending some time with the quarterbacks, but if he's going to make the team, it's going to have to be as a third or fourth tight end who can also save you in a third quarterback scenario. So that's where they're at, and that makes sense to me because usually just bring in another arm because there's so many receivers, so many balls being thrown, and that person is usually called the camp arm. So the Falcons are not going to do the camp arm thing. They're going to try to get Desmond and Marcus Mariota ready to play. They're going to, monitor their throws because you don't want to throw them out in the exhibition season. So let's get started here. We're going to hear from Marcus. We want to hear on how his time in Atlanta is going.
Throughout the process, that was kind of my main goal, was to find an opportunity to play. This presented itself, and with the staff, with the relationships that I've had with these guys before, it made it pretty much an easy transition and an easy decision. So it's been awesome. It's been great. It's a fun group to be around. I really believe in what Art is building here, and it's just fun for me to come into work and be around a lot of good people.
I don't know how that's going to – they're going to give them a competition. They're going to try to get them ready. I do think we're going to see both of the quarterbacks at some juncture this year. They'll get Ridder ready. Marcus says history is that he doesn't make it through the whole season. So this may make a lot of sense, and not bringing in that camp arm to get both of these guys ready and try to fast-track Ridder just in case, something happens. So that makes a lot of sense. And we also heard from Desmond Ridder today. He had a very quick response when asked, what's the biggest change so far between college and pro ball?
Oh, play calls, 100%. That's the biggest thing. But just going home at night, getting on your iPhone, your voice recorder, and just sitting there and reading the script into the voice recorder and then putting your AirPods back in and then reading it back out, kind of like how the helmet is to us. So just being able to pick them up and spit them out. That's kind of been my challenge and where I've needed to grow the most throughout this entire thing. But I feel like I've done a great job of that.
Yeah, well, he thinks he's done a great job of learning how to call pro football plays. In college, they look over there and they show him a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a french fry, and Lee Corso's face. And that's the play. In the NFL, you got these long calls. You got to tell what every player is doing and then go on two or on one or whatever their cadence is. So the calls are full sentences. You end up with X, Y, and Z, then probably a number. Then, you can mix a name with the number. And then the packaging of the plays, that's the whole new thing Coach Smith makes a point of telling us they're package plays. You know, they go to the line, they got a package full of plays. You know, maybe four or five plays, and depending on the look, they got a call to that package. So just calling plays is, you know, we're not going to see him on the field anytime soon. He's just learned how to call plays. And, you know, he thinks he's done a good job, the former Cincinnati Bearcat. So he's doing – that's the hardest thing. That was the hardest thing for Mariota when he got started in Tennessee. Was he came from Oregon in one of those fast-paced, you know, hamburger offenses. And, you know, it took him a while. So they know it's going to take Desmond a while to learn how to call plays, because then, you know, if you calling out wrong signals, you know, that's not going to, you know, put confidence in the veteran players on the field. So that's what's going on right there. So our quarterback is Mariota, Desmond Ridder, and Felipe Franks. You know, the Falcons' run numbers are out there. We got a story online about Cordarrelle Patterson not being held out of minicamp. But, you know, Damian Williams, you know, it looks good on paper. It looks a little bit better than Mike Davidson, the guys from last year. So the running back room is going to be highly competitive. And here is Coach Arthur Smith discussing Cordarrelle Patterson and why he will be held out of minicamp.
He has an offseason program that works well for him in Charlotte. He's a real pro, communicate all the time. I didn't think it was necessary where he's at and where we need him to play a 17-game season. Again, it's not one-size-fits-all D-led, so try to be smart. That was my decision. And so he's here, but he won't be out on the field.
Yeah, some coaches, you know, make special rules for some players. I know Coach Mike Smith used to have the over 30 club. They're basically telling Cordarrelle, fine, you know, we'll see you in July. You know, sometimes maybe a guy came in over or out of weight or a hamstring or something, and they're like, hey, no sense of getting out there. I know Gilbert Brown used to never practice in Green Bay in the summer. So, you know, he is an older veteran, and he's not going to have to do anything at minicamp. So one of the new backs is Damian Williams. You know, been following him since his Oklahoma days, started his career in Miami, was in Chicago last year. The year before that, Kansas City, won a Super Bowl ring. 2 years before that, because 20, he took a COVID year. His mother was sick, and she's doing better now. Wanted to make sure we talked to Damian and, you know, kind of asked him, hey, y'all going to be able to run the ball this year? You know, real basic questions. But Damian says there's a lot to like about this group of running backs.
Being able to, you know, have been in the position to start and play a lot of football. You know, I know what it takes, you know, for those extra yards, those hard yards. So I feel like it's a good tool. And then the backs we have in our room are amazing. We can all do it all. So I feel like, you know, me being a vet, CP being a vet, having Q come up as well, I feel like it's a crazy backfield right now.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So it's pretty good committee, you think?
Most definitely. Then the rookie coming along.
Okay.
Yeah, so
how he look?
Oh, he looks good. And it's so funny because when I was in Chicago, we had Khalil Herbert come in as a rookie.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of see, you know, similarities as far as, you know, patience and wanting to learn the game even more.
Mm-hmm.
He's a smart kid. He knows the game. Mm-hmm. But I love his feet when he runs the ball.
Okay.
Very patient.
Very patient feet. And Q there is Quadri Allison. So, this is how we have the running back group stacked. Going into camp, the battle's going to be at 3, 4, and 5. And, you know, the sixth guy will go to the practice squad more than likely. So Patterson, Damian Williams, Quadri Olison. Then they have Jeremy McNichols, Caleb Huntley, Avery Williams, and Tyler Allgeier. Tyler Allgeier is the rookie that Damian Williams was referencing. We put the rookies in the last spot on the depth chart until they, you know, at least put on some pads and start showing something. You can't put them up on the draft reputations. And so at fullback, Keith Smith and John Rain, the tight end, has been running some fullback, and so has Parker Hesse. Been seeing them at some H-back. So Keith is out. I saw him running out the building on the team's website video, but didn't see him doing anything today. He's coming back from a knee surgery. So he's a very important special teamer for the Falcons also. So the next two groups are, you know, the big group is the tight ends and wide receivers. So you're going to have tight ends coach Justin Peele. He has a lot to pick from in his tight end room.
It's a whole new room. It feels like
got like 10 guys.
Yeah,
we got. It's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of tight ends.
Always. Well, it's, when the head coach used to coach the position,
you're going
to
be loaded up. Yeah.
No, it's been fun. Kyle's doing well. I mean, year two, everything's going to slow down a little bit. He's a lot more confident in what he's doing. And then you can start to really get into some of the details with him. And he's been fantastic. Parker Hesse's done a great job. He's really, he himself has improved. You know, he got a little taste last year. Did some stuff for us throughout the season, and then really toward the end of the season, I thought he did a nice job. Uh-huh. And then, again, this is only probably, third or fourth year playing tight end, right? Defensive end at Iowa. Mm-hmm. Brings the physical aspect to the room, and again, very smart football player, hard worker. He's done a nice job this spring as well.
All right, that was tight ends coach Justin Peele. Now, one of the new people in the room is former Georgia standout John Fitzpatrick.
He's big. He's a big man. He's bigger. Like when we had him on a visit, or at the local day, and he walked in. I saw his numbers, but he's a big man. Good kid. A smart kid. Really wants to know. You know, ask all the right questions. Wants to know the answers. Very diligent with it. He'll be fun.
Well, all right, John Fitzpatrick. Yeah, they need a block and tight end, but they talked about how he can get up the field and so forth. So, you know, look for Fitz to do his thing. He's one of the limited guys right now, so he's on a return to play plan. Had some injuries at Georgia, and they're trying to get him healthy. Now, third string quarterback, we referenced Felipe Franks. He's trying out a tight end, had a nice catch last week of the open OTAs. In the end zone, in the red zone period. So here is what Peele has to say about Franks at tight end.
He's doing a good job with it. He brings a unique perspective, obviously having been in the quarterback room, so I think that gives him a little bit more of an advantage over opposed to somebody else that's trying to do it, just because he's got the, he's got the quarterback coaching with the Charles, and then the kid works hard. He's very attentive. He asks the right questions. And it's fun for me because it's everything I teach him is it's new. He's obviously never played the position, so he's been good.
It's been fun. I was just telling them that it's really just been a learning process for me. I felt like I had a good grasp of the offense, but really just learning every aspect of it, whether it be the run game, even going out there and like learning route stems and stuff. It's different when you're a quarterback and throwing the route as opposed to when you're out there actually running it. So it's really a learning process and really just kind of having a foundation going into camp. Coach Peele's done a great job really helping me with the transition. So it's been really fun.
Yeah, that was Peele followed by Felipe Franks discussing his move to tight end. They used him last year, and his folks, we would know that when they had him in the game plan, they had a fake punt call for him one time, didn't get to it in another game, had him in a couple games to run some RPO stuff. Now they got, Ritter and Mariota could run their own RPO stuff, so they had to find something more for Franks to do if he's going to make the team and so forth. So that's where he's over in the tight end room spending probably, I'm just going to, guess it about 90% to 10% of his time here over there. But, I don't know that. But it looks like he's like just kind of passes through the quarterback room and doing a lot with the tight ends. So tight ends, of course, Kyle Pitts. We have Anthony Firkser, who played for Coach Smith for Tennessee. He was part of the rotation there. He'll be part of the rotation here. And then after that, Parker Hesse, John Rain, John Fitzpatrick, Brandon Linus, and Tucker Fisk. So that's seven tight ends. I thought it was way more. It was higher because they had Becker in here too at one point. So, Peele made a note that, hey, when your coach is a former tight ends coach, he's going to have that position well stocked. And certainly that's the case with the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the wide receiver group, the big name there is Drake London. They got a lot of stuff in for Alameda Zacchaeus and Brian Edwards. Those appear to be the top three, with Patterson floating back and forth between wide receiver and running back. Now, a couple guys, Frank Darby, Cam Baston, Cameron Batson, didn't play, and Austin Trammell, those guys were all limited today. Stanley Berryhill, Geronimo Allison, Auden Tate. Auden was also limited. Demir Bird, and then you got Jarrett Bernhardt and Tyshawn James from Middletown, Connecticut, Central Connecticut guy. So, you know, as you can tell, it's 1, 2, 3. It's a lot of wide receivers there. That is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 wide receivers for six spots, and maybe two on the practice squad. So, you know, that's going to be a lot of battles in that fourth, fifth, and sixth spot. You can wave Edwards, London, Zacchaeus, and Patterson through, and the battle for them last two spots are going to be very intense. So, you know, that's Darby's going to have to prove if he can play. Can Allison or Auden go? Cam Batson's played with Mariota before. Cordarrelle Hodge is huge. Demir Bird's fast. They've been trying to develop Austin Trammell. Stanley Berryhill, Jarrett Bernhardt, and Tyshawn James, all undrafted, look like they got an uphill battle. So there we go. On to the offensive line. Now, the big battles up front are going to be Jalen Mayfield and Elijah Wilkerson at left guard. We saw that line stacked that way today. Right now, Justin Schaefer is swimming, according to Coach Dwayne Letford, offensive line coach. And left tackle Jake Matthews and Rick Leonard was in for him. And center, you got Drew Dahlman running most of the first team snaps. Now, I think he's going to win the job because that's their guy. They didn't draft Hennessy. And they tried to slide Drew in there last year, but the rotating center thing didn't work. So then Hennessy's going to have to be the swing person. So Chris Lindstrom's fine at right guard. I got Dahlman and Ryan Neuzel backing him up. He was taking snaps with the first and second team today, so they didn't have a guard. Kobe Gassett is also there, and I didn't see if Justin must not have been ready, or they was just ramping up Lindstrom, getting him ready to go. And then at right tackle, you got Caleb McGarry and German Ifedi. I believe German Ifedi is going to beat him out. You don't get beat out in the offseason with no pads and so forth. So don't expect him to get beat out. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
All right, we're back here. We're going to wrap up, look at the position battles on the defensive side of the ball and the quick special teams battles. Haven't seen much there. Saw a lot of guys trying out at punt returner. You got a set at kicker. You're going to need a new holder and long snapper. But we'll wrap up with the special teams. When we get into the defense here, we're just going to start off with safety. Jalen Hawkins. I asked him if he's ready to take over in the secondary at strong safety.
Yes, sir. I'm ready to go out there and rock out with my guys, man. And, you know, just you know, just taking one game at a time and just keep getting better day in and day out.
What was the differences from the two systems and from playing your spot and, you know, how comfortable are you in the new things they're doing back there?
It's kind of cool because it's similar to college a little bit. While I played, you know, playing both left and right and, you know, not a singular safety position. So that's pretty cool. You know, a lot of moving parts. So that's the cool part, man. And yeah, like I said, obviously it's a new system. So there's different plays. Mm-hmm. So, you know, different coordinators, different plays, different stuff. So a lot of stuff is good.
Yeah, they're trying to, they're saying the safeties are left and right. They don't really want to call one a free or a strong. But I saw Jalen, I know I mentioned strong safety, but he's playing more of a free. He's playing back deep. And I see Richie moving up. So traditionally that means the deep guy is the free safety and the up guy is the strong. So you can call them left or right or whatever. One of them, the closer one is the strong. The further one back playing center field is the free. And, you know, if they're doing cover two, both of them are back. So they want to, he said, he alluded to they might interchangeable. It doesn't matter, but you gotta watch how they play them, though. And we'll, you know, keep track of that. Another big name here in the offseason is Mykael Walker. He's got some stiff competition at the inside linebacker spot. He said he was ready to play last year. So, he, you know, this is are you ready stuff is, you know, taboo to him. It's just whether he's going to be able to beat out Deion Jones when he gets back or if he's going to be able to beat out Rashawn Evans, who's a favorite of the D.C. But Mykael Walker is going to allow the Falcons if Deion comes back to, you know, maybe come up with some packages. You know, they got a lot of linebackers now, and you know, that might be the strongest unit on the team. So getting them on the field could be key. But Walker told us that he's ready for some stiff competition at the linebacker spot.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I feel like I was ready last year. I just waiting for my opportunity. So every day I'm going to go out there and compete with myself. So I'm just going out there and trying to just get the respect from my coaches, respect from my players, and go out there and play.
Well, there it is. Walker had that 60-some yard interception return against Carolina. We talked about that, too. He said he does watch that a good amount of time over the offseason. He does check it out from time to time. He believes he's got more plays like that for us, I guess. So, one, let's move on to the defensive line. I was able to chart them today, too. So, I'm just looking. Okay, here are my notes. 94 is the nose tackle right now. That's Anthony Rush. Okay, Vincent Taylor is going to probably compete for that. And 95 and 97, we're in the front on the 3-4. That's Grady Jarrett and Marlon. Or no, Tyquan Graham. And then the backup was Marlon. They were rotating on that side. So between Tyquan and Marlon Davidson, they're going to have to, you know, in that win that defensive end spot on the other side of Grady Jarrett. We got a story up online looking at that on the fact that Marlon Davidson or Tyquan Graham has to step up on that front by Erica LaFloria. She's from Florida State and will be a staff writer with us this summer. She has a Tyquan Graham and Marlon Davidson story up. So that's the key up front. You know, some of the other guys, Vincent Taylor's out. You got Timothy Horn, Bryce Rogers, and Derek Tangelo, and Nick Thurman. So, you know, the main guys are Grady, Vincent Taylor, and Rush, and Marlon and Tyquan Graham. They do like the Tangelo kid from Penn State. And linebacker-wise, you know, we got inside. We touched on the inside guys, and then you got the outside guys, which are, you know, in a 3-4, they're kind of hybrid defensive end linebackers. Lorenzo Carter and Audie Ogundeje are running first team right now. Rashawn Evans and Walker are up front. You know, the elephant in the room is Deion Jones, who had a shoulder surgery and is expected back for training camp. So, you know, that's the big one that's missing. Now, the backup group has been Dorian Etheridge and Nick Kowatowski. And, of course, Troy Anderson's also in there, the second-round draft pick from Montana State. And then Nathan Landman. Those are your inside linebackers. Now, outside, behind Carter, I didn't get the second team, but you got Jordan Brailford, Arnold Ibikute, and then behind Arter, you got Quentin Bell, Rashard Smith, D'Angelo Malone, and Cooney Digg. So the linebackers outside, they got to find pass rush. You know, story hasn't changed there. But Lorenzo looks good and in good health and is moving great in the offseason. They are very, you know, he's got a good situation. Lorenzo, former Georgia Bulldog from Norcross High, if he comes in, has a big season, hey, they got money next year. So, you know, he's motivated. He's incentivized to, you know, come and play his best ball for the Falcons. Now, the secondary, we got to see Casey Hayward Jr. today at practice. He had been at OTAs, but he wasn't there during the open OTAs when we were there. So, but he had been at OTAs, and we got to see him today at 29 out there on the right corner. I saw them flip. So, hey, maybe they're flipping Carter and Ogundjaji. I saw AJ on the right. I don't know if he was matching with somebody. But, you know, you got to get them all kinds of work in there. Darren Hall was in there at nickel. Isaiah Oliver's limited. So those that looks like your top three corners for now, at least going into camp. And then at safety, of course, you know, Jalen Hawkins, we heard from him, and then Richie Grant, second-year guy from UCF. So it's a lot of corners, too. Mike Ford was excused today for a family reason. He's played in the league as a special teamer mostly. Corey Ballantyne, Cornell Armstrong, Lafayette Pitts are your other corners, followed by D. Alford and Matt Hankins. We'll talk to D tomorrow. He's an interesting guy. I won't give away too much of the story, but he's got a shot to make the team from Tusculum up in Tennessee. And he also starred in the Canadian Football League for the Winnipeg Blue Bomber. So looking forward to talking to him tomorrow about his football journey. So those are your defensive backs. Going to be a lot of competition there. You got Eric Harris and Brad Hawkins behind Jalen Hawkins. So you're gonna keep four safeties, maybe four. I've seen him go with three and one on the practice squad. So you got six for four spots there. Corners, you're going to probably need six to eight, depending on who's playing on special teams and who's returning and so forth. So, you know, your top ones look like AJ, Casey Hayward, Isaiah Oliver, he can make it back, Darren Hall. And then there's going to be room for a couple guys to make the team, like D. Ford or Ballantyne or Pitts or Armstrong. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting battle to watch. Those guys will get a lot of action in the exhibition season. And we're going to wrap up here with the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, our 335th episode, with a quick drive-by of the special teams, because we don't know the Gunners and all that stuff. But let's look at the key specialists. You're good. Set at kicker, Youngway Koo, no competition in camp for him. Punter, Don Maggio, and Seth Vernon. I've been trying to get hang times on them. They're so far down the other field, by the time I get my watch out, they already kicked. So I got to get on it, get y'all some hang time on the punters. Maybe we'll have a punt off at the end of practice one day, and we'll get a chance to get that for you. Lamb McCollum is the long snapper, because Bo Brinkley's on IR right now. And your holder is Don Maggio. We saw Ritter working on holding. So, you know, that means the backup quarterback could be the holder. Avery Williams is the punt returner. And we have Cordarrelle Patterson, Avery Williams, and Cameron Batson as the kickoff returners. So we got a lot of battles here. Quarterback, Mariota Ritter. Running backs, Patterson, your main guy. Do you want to go with Williams? You're going with a committee, so it's just who's going to be on the committee. Tight ends, you know, behind Pitts and Fersker, you know, can Felipe Franks make it? Wide receivers, you got a slew of them. You got some interesting veterans, too. that have played in the league, can they make the team? Hodge, Geronimo Allison, Auden Tate, Demir Byrd, you know, can those guys come in here and play and help you out? And the line, I got a story coming up, and I don't want to give too much of it away, but it was a reason why they didn't touch the line. You know, that we know, I've been, you know, hammering on this line, the 40 sacks, haven't been able to open up the run game, but Coach kind of explained some of that to us, and we're saving that for a story for you during the down period here on why they stayed with the line. It gave, you know, Jake Matthews an extension. Bringing back Jalen Mayfield, who, you know, had horrible numbers last year. Neither center played any good last year, but their center is going to probably get the job. And Lindstrom's solid. And McGarry's back. Said he's motivated by not getting his fifth-year option, so he's going to be motivated to you know, show somebody that he can still play. And then Jermaine Ifedi played at Texas A&M with Jake. And so, you know, he's played in the league too. So, you know, a couple guys to keep an eye on there. Elijah Wilkerson, and how fast can they get Justin Schaefer? Now, the one I didn't mention, Vrabel and Leroy Watson. He's the tight end from UT San Antonio, and they converted him to tackle. So that's a project for Coach Ledford. D-line, they need somebody to step up there. You got Grady Jarrett and some guys. Marlon Davidson, you know, what you going to do? Anthony, he had that good interception on Tom Brady last year. That was pretty big. And Anthony Rush had some plays last year. Vincent Taylor he's pretty stout. You know, Tyquan and Marlinson, you got a chance to make it in the league. And then, you know, we'll be looking at the outside backers inside. The big thing's Deion Jones on the linebacker level. Secondary, big thing's Richie Grant. Can he get it in there? Can he get back there and hold it down? And special teams looking for new punter, long snapper, and holder. The whole operation left last year, you know, starting with Josh Harris going to the Chargers. So with that, we're going to wrap up the 335th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. You all take care and have a great rest of your week.
Hip hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip hop.
50 years.
No one can deny
one film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.